This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Ha! Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my shirt. My plantation, my plantation, my plantation. Ah, plantation, 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 plantation.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. I'm your host, Tosin. Today we have a full cast with the Manchester United edition because Erik ten Hag is, yeah. But I have my boy Dama with me and I have Tommy with me. Fellas, how y'all doing today?
I mean, I just wasted 2 hours of my life. Other than that, I mean, fantastic.
Yeah, cool. I'm here. That's it. I'm here.
Well, it's funny because this is episode 419, and in Nigeria, 419 is the criminal code for scams, and this is the perfect episode to get this cracking. I think that is the funniest and best thing I can say about what happened. We talk about a lot today. We're going to talk about what, you know, we feel about Rashford with the abuse and everything. We're going to talk about the game that we saw today. And I mean, basically, if you listen to any Man United edition that you have in the past month, you're going to listen to the same thing, but this time I got two people with me because we just need to talk. So first and foremost, I think, you know, for me, the first 10, 15 minutes, I knew this game was shit. And that's really up to y'all. Like, you guys talk to me. What do you guys see in the first, like, you know, opening minutes of the game? Because I think a lot of times in Man United, you can tell how the game's going to go from the way it starts. So what did you guys think when you guys saw the game?
A lot of sideways passing. And I mean, I think I saw Eriksen get pinched like twice in the first 15 minutes, and like not even because he's slow or anything, just he wasn't looking. Mm-hmm. And like he just had his head down, and I'm like, you've been doing this shit for longer than your midfield partner's been alive.
Yeah,
like how are you still not like, do you come like, why are you not looking around? And like, he plays nice passes and stuff, but I mean, when I saw him get dispossessed just by standing still, I was like, okay, it's gonna be a very long 90 minutes. I mean, what's the other option? For me, it's not the other option.
Literally, like Dama was saying, when United play, right, you can, like you said, within the first, like, half hour, how we attack, you can just tell how the rest of the game's going to go. When I saw we were, like, missing chances or just, like, missing that final ball, I just knew it was going to be a frustrating game. And I think it was the first Garnacho shot or the first chance we conceded. Like, I saw it and I'm like, yeah, I already knew. And like you said, Eriksen, what you said about Eriksen, I noticed it with him and Casemiro. They don't check their shoulders anymore. I don't get it. I don't know if you get older, you lose that ability, but they just don't check their shoulders. And the one blatant time I remember, it was off I think this one might have been towards the end of the first half. We had just won the ball back, and Maguire passed it to Eriksen so they can, like, you know, pass it out. And Eriksen, this man legit just was walking across the top of the box. They stole it, and they almost scored. This is stuff you yell at you eight players to be doing. So you, as a Man United starter, this is not something you should be doing, but yeah, when the game started, like those couple mistakes, I was like, "Yeah, we're not winning this one." Like we just weren't.
I think the thing is, it's like Groundhog's Day, right? Like you constantly see patterns, right? And people constantly get excited from the little bit of action you see. I remember someone saying, "Oh, well, Rashford's not playing today, so you know we look a little bit better." I'm like, Rashford or not, like this is how we played for the last season. Right, it's literally how we played since August. It hasn't really changed at all. I know Eric wants his whole entire team there, and I get it. You know, you're missing players through injury. I understand that. But as a coach, your job is to mitigate the issues. This is what me and Dharma said last time on when we talked about Crystal Palace, right? Oliver Glasner, he gets the best out of his players because he knows how to mitigate issues. You constantly make things worse, right? Through your subs, through your formations. You constantly, like, the same side against Sheffield United that struggled against Sheffield United. Luckily, we beat them 4-2 and we didn't play that well. You roll out the same side. I think as a coach, sometimes you have to stop being a coward, right? You see certain players in the academy, you just have to bring them up. Like Maxi Oyedele's there. There's, you know, Finlay McAllister, who's the captain of U18s. There are midfielders there, right? If you really want to do that, Amrabat's there. You literally begged and pleaded to get Amrabat. You got Amrabat. He doesn't play, only like ghost minutes at the end. So the formation, the shape is all on you, buddy. Like, that is literally on you. And when it happens over and over and over again, it's like, this is a bad marriage. And it has to end. And luckily, you know, well, unluckily for him, the next games are intense. Because you do know who we have next, right? You guys do know who we play next, right?
Newcastle?
No, it's Crystal Palace.
Oh.
Arsenal.
Oh.
Oh, God, we have to play the fake intellectuals.
Newcastle, Brighton, and then City. It's not easy at all. Like, Crystal Palace is, like, the easiest game on that schedule, or Brighton, however you feel. But if you can't dominate the team that is in 19th and 20th at home at Old Trafford, and you turn into a basketball game, there's nothing I can say or do for you, man. There's nothing about that.
And first of all, that fixture list is crazy. I didn't expect that threw me off. But yeah, like you said, remember last week, right? I missed the pod last week, but so I'm not too sure what y'all said, but I remember on the timeline, people were like, oh, look at us. Rashford isn't here, or so and so isn't here, and look at us, we're playing well, we're playing better. And I'm like, guys, like you said, Rashford or not, this is the 20th place team, and we still conceded two very stupid goals. Like, those goals still happen. Like, those still happen. We all saw it. And now, again, we're missing Rashford for the against the 19th place team, right? And yet again, we look bad. What does that tell you? It's not the players. It's the guy that's implementing the system. And like you said, he's a coward. We're going to get to it, but the subs he made today, they don't make sense. And you can almost literally tell what exactly he's going to do. If we, as fans, can see it, what do you think the other team's coaches can? They can game plan for this. He's going to bring off Maino for McTominay around the 60-something, 70th minute. Then he's going to bring off either Antony, or if Rashford is on, or Rasmus for Ahmad or Mount, and that's literally all he's going to do, barring an injury. It's scripted. And if we, again, me as a fan, I can see it from all the way here in America on my TV. What do you think the coaches who are paid boatloads of money, they can see it. They can game plan for this. They know what you're going to do. You're predictable, and it's bad football.
My thing is, again, it's one of those things where you're just tired of it. You're not even annoyed. You're not even frustrated. It's like, this is literally what you expect week in and week out. The good thing about today is, though, Burnley did not have more than 20 shots. 16.
Oh, that's so nice.
16. But if I tell you guys...
We kept their XG under 1.
Yeah. If I tell you guys United had 47.4% possession at home against Burnley. You're against the 19th place team, right, who has 52.6% possession against you at home. It is... What more can we say? It's just bad.
They went shot for shot with the 19th place team in the league. It was a contest against the 19th place team in the league. It wasn't like it was, we got unlucky, we just missed a bunch of chances. Like, no, it was tight until we scored.
They had so many clear-cut chances. Onana kept us in this game. Like,
yeah, 7 shots on target for them.
My thing is, it's just like, Onana's great, right? Like, he really has improved a lot. I mean, he had a head rush. But again, that's Casemiro's fault.
Yeah.
That literally is Casemiro's fault. Like, the goalkeeper had to rush out. And There's a lot of just bad players on the team. I like Bruno Fernandes. I salute him for, you know, standing up with his broken hand. Like, I appreciate that. But it's just little things that Bruno does that frustrates me. Just passing between the lines, little things like that. It's like, Bruno, come on, man. You're better than that. Like, you just... And when he wants to turn the ball, right? He played well today. Let's fair play to him.
Yeah.
It's like when he gets in these positions of just trying to, like, turn on the ball, he looks very awkward and very just like, I don't know how to explain it. He looks like he's struggling to do that. And I know a lot of United fans are saying, oh, we need to upgrade the strikers and the wingers. If United don't get at least three or four midfielders who can actually turn under pressure and can pass and control the ball, we're in for hell. That is the most important position United to fix this summer, in this midfield. And the thing is, we could do that one summer. Go to Ligue 1 and go get Kakare, go get Youssef Fofana. You don't need to get Amadou or not. I'm sorry. I don't want that guy, United. But that's neither here nor there.
Uh-huh.
So
that's a WWE wrestler dressed as a soccer player.
Listen, I've been fighting a dying fight. People keep saying, what, Onana, I don't see what people see in him. And especially for the price.
He is Bissouma 2.0.
And then don't they want like 60 million for him?
Minimum. Yep. Minimum.
No. For that, bro, literally just go buy back James Garner and then... And that's the thing. You're talking about, like, we can fix the midfield right now. But, like, if let's say they want to wait, right? Let's say they want to wait, or we don't have the funds, or they want to allocate the funds somewhere else. There are, like you said, there are players in the academy that can at least do the job for us till we get... Sending Hannibal on loan is still so stupid to me. And every time I say that, people will say, oh, look at what he's doing in Sevilla. He's not even playing. Let's not act like players don't need different situations to thrive in. Look at when the games he played for us against, was it the first game against Brighton and then the cup match against Crystal Palace? I get they were like against lower stakes oppositions or whatever. He still played well. Well, I think like he should have been given a shot more than the couple minutes he played before he got sent out on loan. And am I going to sit here and say he's 100% going to work? I'm not going to say that. I don't know. But I think he deserves at least more than coming on in the 88th minute and saying, go make something happen. Or Mount. I get Mount's been... I've been against the Mount signing since the get-go. But at this point, I'm sick of watching Eriksen and Casemiro play midfield. Dan Gore is alone at Portsville. He's injured. Preseason, give him a chance. Maxi, please. Like, if we can't... I prefer we go in the transfer market and get Kepa Thuram and all those guys. If we can't give these youngsters a chance early in the season or late in the season now, like, play them. We have nothing left to play for besides the FA Cup. Please.
You know, I always forget that we actually have the FA Cup final coming up, and then I have to remind myself that, fuck, we have to do that. Just still have to do that
against
shit.
City, too.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think this is the first time in my life that I have zero excitement for a cup final. I have nothing. I'm like, I almost don't want to watch it. But, like, you know, coming back to the midfield and, like, trying the youngsters and all that stuff, you know, I think this is obviously a question for the new coach, because there is going to be a new coach that had.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when now.
Yeah.
If Erik ten Hag is a half-decent human being, he will recognize that he has youngsters there. And he came from Ajax, so he should recognize that. And he does like giving youngsters a chance. I mean, he should see that there's nothing left to play for and at least see what we have, because until we do that, then he's going to keep sending people out on loan that shouldn't go out on loan, and he's going to keep people that he shouldn't keep because they just don't give them enough chances. And I think players like Hannibal Mejbri, who's like, you know, Sevilla, I think Sevilla is like dead last. They're near the bottom of the league, table in the Liga.
Yeah, they're bad. I'm not sure where, but I know she's not been the best.
And I mean, Dan Gore at Port Vale. I think Dan Gore made a few appearances this, like, earlier this season, and it wasn't bad.
Fellas, Sevilla turned it around. They're in 12th now, so they'd be all right. Okay. Yeah.
No power to them.
Hand up. I knew that they were, like, near relegation for the first part of the season.
Yeah, they're, like, one on a three-game winning streak, and then they lost their recent match. But, yeah, Sevilla turned things around this season.
I don't like Sevilla, so I haven't
been right there
closely. Youssef Nasri still wakes me up in my nightmares after that tie. And you know what? Like, I think a guy like Dan Gore, like, he came on and played well. And, like, I was watching it. We watched with our own two eyes. There was something there, and he also got physicality, fine, but at least keep the kid on the bench and give him spot minutes, you know?
Yeah.
I understand sending kids out on loan, but a loan to a place like Port Vale, there's value in it, but at the same time, you're just delaying
the development
assessment by a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have to make the decision now.
I have to correct what I said. Sevilla's on a 3-game winning streak and end the series scored in the last 2 games, just to spite you. Just to spite you, I have to say that. But no, I mean, I think a club like United, especially with the fan base that we have, which is going to lead into the Rashford point, a lot of United fans don't want to give youngsters chances. And a lot of United fans don't want to give players who they don't know chances either, right?
No, if they don't see them in FIFA, then they're not going to give them a chance.
It's very frustrating when I see the players United like want to link themselves to this summer. I'm like, you can legit fix the issues in maybe 2 or 3 transfer windows if you want to be serious about it. You know, like, you guys know I bang on Ligue 1 drum every day. That is my favorite league to find midfielders. I love Ligue 1. Like, even in Serie A, there's players. Like, Bologna has a center back who I like. There's Michael Kayode out there. There's Patrick Dogud, who's the right and left backs. There's players out there, right? I just think that even in our academy system, there's players in there too. And we don't properly get the best out of our players. And when I look, and I said it before, I remember against Chelsea when Kobbie Mainoo got fouled, right? And, like, I think it was – I forgot which player came out to Kobbie Mainoo, like, pushed him.
That's
what I'm saying about how this squad is so fractured. It's like, we now rely on the 19-year-old Kobbie Mainoo to be our main guy. But it's like, in the past, when you look at someone like Roy Keane, if you try to foul Cristiano around Roy Keane's going to fuck you up. Excuse my French. You know, but now you got people just looking at these kids getting pushed. I'm like, yo, where's the competitiveness in this team? And I feel bad for a lot of these players because, like, they are promising. Like, I know when Højlund was in Serie A, he looked like a solid, like, kid. And now United, he just looks frustrated. He doesn't know what he's doing. Look, he doesn't know how to play football, right? So
no.
there's a lot of like, going back to the drawing board that United need to do as a fan base, as a board, as an infrastructure. Everything, United need to go back to the drawing board this summer and just really figure out who and what we want to be. Let's talk about Rashford quickly, because that is something that, like, I feel it's very important to talk about. I feel the abuse Marcus Rashford gets is so over the top. And listen, I'm a huge Rashford fan from the beginning. You know, I love seeing an academy player come doing, like, banging goals. And obviously, Rashford's not in the best of form. It is what it is. But if you look at this whole entire team and you feel like that is the main issue, you have a lot of thinking to redo, because Rashford's not the issue in this team. There's a lot of bigger issues in this team outside of Marcus Rashford. Like we said before, the midfield is a big issue. The defense, the injuries, the coaching, like, there's a lot of issues you get to before you even look at Marcus Rashford. So I don't know, man. United fans, you guys generally need to relax. Like, I know we all need a scapegoat, right? Like, we all need a scapegoat, and I've seen it online. Like,
there's a bald one on the sidelines. I don't know why we have to look any further. He's not even a scapegoat. He actually is to blame.
And the thing, like, you know, I'm Rashford's biggest fan. Like, Rashford is the same age as me. I saw that man, a hometown kid, burst through scoring goals for the club I love. Same complexion, same age as me. I'll never turn on that guy. I love that guy. But like I said, has he had a good season? No. And, like, that's fine. You know, players have bad seasons, bad patches. Even in his Players Tribune article, he said, if you're going to criticize my play on the pitch, that's fine. Do that. But when you start bringing in outside stuff, questioning my loyalty, my love, and then bringing in my family, that's where there's a problem. And that's what fans are literally doing. They're telling them, oh, suck it up. Why are you going on Twitter to say it's enough? You people are abusing him. You people are coming for his character. Do you think he should just shut up and take it? The criticism, it doesn't make sense. Like you said, there's so many other. This is a guy that scored 30 goals and 11 assists for us just last season. He scored the only trophy we won. He scored in every single game up until the final, and then scored in the actual final. This is a man before Bruno came. I don't know if people remember what life was like before.
It
was
Andres Pereira at 10, baby.
Andres Pereira, or it was Martial and Rashford doing carry jobs. I remember that I think it was the season right before Bruno came where Rashford finally started taking penalties and went on like a run of like 7 games with a goal, just 1-0, 2-1 wins where it was him scoring or creating something. This is a man who at his best with stuff like not optimum around him, he can't create magic for us. He can't help us. So for you guys to think, oh, this is the first person we should sell or this is the person we should get rid of, It does not make sense. You got people need to put down FIFA career mode and get realistic. People say sell Rashford. I'm like, okay, we sell Rashford, right? Who are we gonna replace him with? Because realistically, we need another like right winger. Let's be honest with ourselves. Garnacho's playing there. So let's say Garnacho's our long term right winger. Who are you gonna replace the left wing with?
I saw some funny shit.
On them like Liao and Cavaselli. I'm like, first of all, those guys, not only are they not better than Rashford, do you have that 100 mil they're going to ask for them?
My thing is, I saw something earlier today that made me laugh. Somebody was just like, we should replace him with Jamal Musiala. I was like, you clearly don't watch football because Musiala plays through the middle.
You think Musiala is going to want to come to this team? They're not in the Champions League. Or first of all,
they're about to give Musiala a key to the fucking city. Why the hell would he come here?
Literally. And also, let's say he does want to come. You think Bayern are accepting less than like 120 mil? Let's use this, guys. Let's turn it on.
Last time I bought a player from Bayern was Schweinsteiger.
Oh, God.
I forgot. Was it Sabitzer? Sabitzer came from.
The football gods are funny, though, man, because today Anthony scored and God was just like, yeah, we ain't going to let that roll. And then Jadon Sancho scored a banger today and Leipzig scored 4 goals and they lost 4-1. So the football gods are just funny. It was just like, yo, I'm going to give you this, but I'm also take it away. But it's just a frustrating time to be a United fan, man. I think that we are improving in certain places, right? The academy system, I feel like a lot of people don't realize how bad the academy system was before like they revamped everything. I mean, you had Darren Fletcher's kids going to Man City. You had Carrick's kids going to City. You have a lot of these guys, you know, sending their kids to City and the academy's revamped. I think that this summer is time to really just gut the squad. We've been doing fake, you know, rebuildings. Yeah. It's time to literally just, and this is going to sound super like drastic, but you got to knock the whole house down, man. Just knock the whole foundation off and just restart. But today was just bad. And it's one of those things you could literally see it happening in real time. You could see like, yo, this is not a good game.
It's not.
This is not it. Like this is absolutely terrible. You know, and I'm over it. I've been over this season since probably December. I've probably been over this like entire thing and just waiting for the days just to run out. There are times you get happy with the Ahmad goals and the things like that, but it's just when you start seeing people like, you know, Anthony starting week in and week out, you're checked out, man. And I love Aaron Wan-Bissaka. And the thing is, I try my hardest, you know, to be very realistic because I understand playing professional football is hard, right? It is not an easy job at all. It is, you're busting your ass week in, week out, running your lungs out. But to be fair to players like Aaron Wan-Bissaka, they're holding us back. Aaron Wan-Bissaka today, he tried to power wind up for a shot.
That's actually the same animation you do in, I don't know if anybody's AFC when you're trying to do a power shot. Yeah, and the guy takes long to load his back. That's exactly what he did in real life.
You know what killed me? If he had ran onto the ball, he would have generated more power. Like he was running, came to a full stop and tried to power. If he just run onto that pass, like come on. Oh, but I have a question because you're talking about gutting the squad. Who are your like 3 to 5 players you like have to go, like they have to, because it's more than 5 that need to go. But like your personal 3 or 5, both of you guys.
Dom, are you gonna go first?
I actually had just pulled up the squad list when you were talking about a revamp, and I was just taking a look through it, and it's shocking. I think Casemiro has probably got to go. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you for the sunset years. Saudi Arabia is calling your name. Anthony's got to go. I mean, you know, how do I pick just one more?
You can do 5 now. You can do 5.
Okay, let's go. I think Eriksen has to go. Amrabat's going on loan, so they're not going to make it permanent. I think for progress to happen, Scott has to go because dumbass managers will keep playing him.
Yeah.
And I think we need to take that option out of their hands. You know, it's like when you have like a baby and you take like the glass shit off the cabinet, the stuff close to the floor and put it high up. That's what you need to do with Scott McTominay. Just get him out of the way. Don't even give him the option. And then I think Wan-Bissaka probably has to go. If only to prompt the search for a new one.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of these players that I listed, I don't, with the exception of Anthony, I think is the only one that I seriously think would bring no value in any way. Mm-hmm. The rest of these guys, I can see them being valuable squad players, like being like, okay, we need depth. We're playing League One team in the FA Cup. Let's do a full rotation. I don't know if you saw Real Madrid's lineup yesterday.
Yeah,
the full rotation, that was beautiful. That was wonderful. You know, and now you have your 11 rested for Champions League.
Yo, they,
on Tuesday.
Real Madrid literally just put on Fran Garcia, Nacho, Militao, who's coming back from injury, Carvajal, Kepa in goal, Modric, Tchouameni, Gula, Brahim, Ceballos, Joselu, and still won. Obviously, they brought in Vinny, Camavinga, Valverde, Vasquez, and then Rudiger. But Jude didn't play. Cruz didn't play. Lunin didn't play. And like a lot of, like, they, yeah, like they're fully rested. And I think with United is we use these guys like a bar of soap. And they're so just tired. Like, for me, to answer the question as far as like who would I get rid of in this squad, I mean, obviously Casemiro and Varane, both. I love Varane, but he can't stay fit. So it's Casemiro and Varane, which I personally didn't want to sign either of them, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Antony and Scott, like you said, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka are my five, but there's still at least like five others that I would get rid of.
I'm surprised no one is saying Lindelof. What does he bring to this team?
Depth.
But that's
it. Frankly, that's it.
I get that, but like the depth he brings, I'm sorry. Thing, I would rather have Mengi that we sold to Luton. I'd rather have him in that position.
So I'm going to answer you. So for me with Lindelof is I'd get rid of him too. And you know who I'd bring in for Lindelof?
Who?
Tossin on the free.
Very good. Yes. Yes.
Because, you know, Tossin's from Manchester. Jason Walcott has a relationship with him. And again, he's from Manchester.
And he's on the free. Like, and he won't ask for a crazy wages. He's coming for a phone. Like, my five is Casemiro. Hey, Botafogo has some food for you, man. Go home. Go home. It's your calling. Antony, I don't care where you go. Leave.
Ideally in prison.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Ideally prison. McTominay, again. Just because he's scoring goals in chaos does not mean he does his job as a midfielder properly. Yeah. So get him out.
West Ham has a locker room with your name on it, ready for you.
Lindelof is my one because I can't watch him anymore. I don't. Like, when he plays left back, anyone who's on the left wing is fighting up against 3v1s every time. They're not worried about his overlapping. His defense, he's so shy when he defends. I've never seen anyone like, I can't describe, but it makes me so angry. And the fifth one, yeah, Eriksen. Like, again, I loved Eriksen when it was at Spurs and Ajax and Inter. I loved watching him. You know, there was something there. But again, thank you for the good times. You brought us back a trophy after how many years you helped. Thank you. Time to go. I'm sorry.
I was going through the list of free players who are free agents, and the only one I generally want is Tussin. I mean, Mbappe's obviously going to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want Rabiot.
God,
I wouldn't want Mario home.
Please, just keep that. No.
We got to stop that Rabiot nonsense. That's not a
problem. I wouldn't.
Man, that 2 weeks last summer was the scariest. I woke up every day terrified of a Fabrizio notification.
We go with Rabiot to United would have broken me.
You know what it is, too? I think a lot of fans also just don't realize there's so much talented players that just need a chance. Like, look at Adam Wharton. He just came out of, like, people say he came out of nowhere. It's like, no, the kid was balling in the championship. Yeah. And it's just like, there's so many talented players that you could fix this overnight. Like, for example, Youssef Fofana, I mentioned again previously. He's a all-action midfielder in Ligue 1. Like, Ligue 1 is one of the most physical leagues in the world. Like, you are not going to survive in Ligue 1 getting battered by those guys. So, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where I just can't wait for the end of the season. You know, it's,
you know who I would have loved to have brought in now, but now he's not going to come, is Sekou Fofana.
Yeah.
Before he went to Saudi, I would have loved Sekou Fofana.
Yeah.
For a midfielder, this is like I don't say a left field shot, but he's young. The dude that Atletico Madrid bought from Belgium. He's a CDM. Oh my days.
Let me see. I'm gonna look at their roster real quick.
Yeah, the name is escaping me. He was he played at Antwerp.
He did just recently brought him in, right?
Yeah, in January.
I know who you're talking about, and it's pissing me off.
Yeah.
It's pissing me off because
the name is right there. Oh my days. Anyway, I would have loved him because he's like 19, 20. And I'm that's another thing I think we need to implement in our transfer strategy. Stop buying the retirement players, please. I can't take, like, I love Cavani for what he did, but I can't take any more 30-year-old strikers. I can't take any more 30-year-old midfielders. Please, let's start looking for players entering their prime or who are in their prime or, like, right before their prime. Because spending 60 mil on Varane and Casemiro when they're past it or losing their legs, I'm sorry. I can't keep watching it. Because then,
if Real Madrid is selling you somebody who started games for them last year,
don't do it.
You shouldn't be buying
them. And my, you know what? One of my biggest fears is I don't want to speak it because I feel like these idiots are gonna do it. They're gonna bring in Lewandowski or Kroos, and I'm going to boycott the sport. United, I see them doing it, and I'm going to cry.
I generally don't think that's gonna happen. I really feel with like Omar, Jason, and Dan Ashworth coming, I think it's gonna be a whole new refreshment. I think that we're gonna get linked to players that you never thought of. And I'm generally like cautiously optimistic because it's still, you know,
United.
Be on the earth. Yeah. But I think that these guys can tell. Like I said, like Jason Wilcox is a stand of excellence. He's a guy who's won the Premier League, as I mentioned before. Dan Ashworth, I know a lot of people are like, oh, he only did something at Brighton. No, the English team that you see today, right? The English, like how talented England are, he had a major hand in it. Again, Omar was at Barcelona and he was at Man City. So these guys know what talent is. They know what a stand of excellence is. It's just, there's so many good players out there that United can go and target. And I'm not, like, it's just to this point where I just can't wait for the season to be over. I just can't wait.
Man. And, like, you know what? I'm bringing it back to the point of, like, signing 30-year-olds, signing 33-year-olds. I think if you look at, like, how we get there because of a lack of planning and a lack of structure at the top, right? Because those aren't buys that we schedule at the start of the window. Those are panic buys after August 21st, where it's like, shit, we missed out on everybody. And because everybody came to us and said 120 mil, and we don't want to be in the headline saying we overpaid, we're not going to do it. And then it's like, well, we still need a player in that position that has 2 feet.
Yeah.
So what's the solution? How do you offset the performance? You look at the marketing value. Bring in a big name and all of a sudden it becomes easier to swallow the pill of you're signing somebody over there, over the hill. And, you know, like Tilson said, I think that the structure we have now fixes it because those are guys that are known, that know what to do in these situations. You know, like they know what success looks like Tilson said, and they've had successful negotiations. They put together teams. Omar has worked at Barcelona and City and worked on transfer negotiations, you know. So I just need, was it the FA Cup?
Yeah.
When is that? Oh, May what?
Day? Oh, you said,
May 25th or something like that. May 25th.
May 26th to come.
Yeah. To me, the season has been over for a minute. Like, I just watched these games purely out of, like, let me see if Mino, Ahmad, or, like, one of the few players I do like on this team does something, I'm like, okay, I'm good. Because, we have the FA Cup, but there's nothing left to play for here. Like, we're just here, like, Marshawn Lynch, we're just here so we don't get fined. That's all these last couple games are. We're just here so we don't get fined. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating feeling like this so early in the season. Like you said, in December, that's how you felt like this. And I'm not going to lie to you. I think when we got knocked out of the Champions League, I checked out of the season. Because
it's just something to do now, honestly.
That Champions League showman was disastrous.
I still can't believe that should happen,
like,
man.
Disastrous. There's sometimes I forget we're in Champions League this year. Then, like, I remember Hoyland still has the second most goals in the competition. Like, and also, I don't think people know, Rashford was, like, in top, Rashford was, like, top three for assists till, like, I think the last round, because he had, like, 3 assists in the group stages. All to Hoyland. And so, like,
here we are.
Like, we literally, it's...
The thing is, we didn't even play, like, you know what, we did play bad in a lot of those games. When I saw the mental midgetry of the squad. And I saw how long the season was going to be. I think the game that I can pinpoint exactly when I was like, all right, I'm done with this year, was Copenhagen away.
Oh my.
Do you know I'm going to like buttress your point? Because I was at the office then. I was with all my coworkers and I knew I was frustrated because my English accent slipped in. And it was like when I flip into that mode where my accent comes out, I know I'm frustrated. And that was when I put my hands, I was like, I'm done. I was like, I'm completely done. And that Copenhagen game, that was it. That was the end of it for me.
For me, see,
Copenhagen, that Bruni Bargi.
Oh my god! Oh god! I think it was the remember the Welcome to Hell game against Istanbul where they're like, oh,
Galatasaray,
Galatasaray.
And then Garnacho scored that goal.
He was giving it to him. Anthony apologized. I'm like, what are you doing? Bruno scored. I'm like, guys, stay calm. We're doing something right. And then Onana happened. And when I say, after that game, I had to stay off the internet for the week. Like, I was not on Twitter.
I left 3 group chats after that game.
If I said what I wanted to say, I would have been arrested. Because we started off so well. I'm like, guys, we got, like you said, this where you saw the mentality was just not there. They just, it was a combination of poor mentality, poor officiating, just missed.
I think you went out. Yeah. You went in and out. Yeah.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, you went in and out, but it's
like, all said, like, yeah, that, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. That killed me. That game. It was just a storm of just shithousery, and I'm like, yeah, you guys got it. Yeah, this season belongs to the hate watchers now.
I'm going to round it out with one final point about Manchester United. I told you guys, you know, there's a lot of lack of midfield, a lot of lack of control, a lot of just lack of service to the players. Today, and this is going to be my final point, and we're going to round it out after this. Rasmus Højlund received more passes from Andre Onana and the other player on the pitch.
The first half, when he dropped deep and Onana played that ball through the midfield straight to him, my first thought was like, at the end of this game, if I see a stat that Onana passed more to Højlund than any other of our attackers, I would lose my mind. I have the Bible app on my phone. I'm about to put my hand on my phone. I swear to you. That was my first thought when I saw that pass. And now you just, oh my.
Yeah, well, Onana. Our goalkeeper gave our striker the most passes. So 4 passes from Onana is the most that he received. If that doesn't tell you how badly, if that doesn't tell you how badly set up this team is and how badly set up this whole entire squad is, it's like a bad BBL. That's what Man United is shaped like. It's a bad BBL. Yeah. Yeah. Fellas, you want to add anything before we get out of here?
That was a game we watched. And
like I've been saying for the...
No, man, if I say something else, we got to cut the airwaves right now because I might start drinking on the air. I might start drinking live on video if we keep talking about this.
Well, this is the Manchester United Edition. I'm Tosin, your host, joined by Dahmer and Tommy. Appreciate you guys so much for making time. Peace. Thank you, fellas.
Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
We're out. Peace.
I take my shirt off. Work all day. Hustle and pray. Nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar, my plantation, my plantation, my plantation, ah, plantation, plantation, plantation.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.